All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf yud. We left off yesterday on daf tesamud beis. So the Gemara said the following. The Gemara said, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer. So the third line down. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh said, Eizehu mu'uva shlo yuchal liskon. What's an example of something that is bent, something that is crooked, that cannot be fixed? Haba ala erva, one who goes ahead and has relations with someone who is an erva. Vaholid mimena mamzer. And the person goes ahead and creates a mamzer as a result. Such an individual ultimately, etzem mu'uva shenu yuchal liskon. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, holid in la holid lo. Now it makes it sound like the only time that there's a problem with mamzerus is when lemaisa again. Excuse me. The only problem when it's considered to be something that is crooked that cannot be made straight is only when a mamzer was born, meaning when you created a mamzer. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'hatanya, we learned. Rav Shimon Manasseh says, "Gonev adam efshar shiyachzir ginavo." So we'll say, if a person steals something, the possibility is they can return that which has been stolen. V'yitakin, and they have the ability to fix their sin. Gozel adam, person stole. Remember, we saw Geneva and Gazela yesterday. So a person goes ahead and steals something again. With gozel means they steal it with force. Gozel adam efshar shiyachzir gozlo. V'yitakin, person steals. It's possible that they could go ahead and return that which has been stolen and fix and remedy their mistake. Avahaba al ishes ish. But Rabbi says, if somebody chas v'shalom goes ahead and has relations with a married woman, va'asra labayla, and prohibits her to her husband, nitrad min ha'olam v'halachlo. Such a person ultimately is removed from the world, and they're lost. They're lost. Rabbi says, what do you see? Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, ein omer bikru gamal, bikru chazir. We'll say, again, it's an interesting expression. We don't say that you should examine a camel to see if it's fit to be a carbon. And we don't say you should examine a pig to see if it's fit to be a carbon, because those items are obviously precluded and excluded from the area of carbonos. Ella bikru tala. But rather, what we do say is go ahead and check the lamb to see if it's fit to be used for a carbon. I will say, what is... Rav Shimon Yochai is saying is that Lemaisa, we only go ahead and only something that was technically fit, only something that was technically fit from the beginning is examined to see its level of fitness. But something that was never in the parasha of being fit, so what Rav Shimon Yochai is alluding to is what he said in the Mishnah, that the only thing that could be crooked is what? Is something that was, excuse me, only thing that could be straight is something that was The only thing that can become crooked is something that was originally straight. But if it was never originally straight, then it doesn't have the capacity to become crooked. So Gemara says, what's an example of this? This is the Tam Tchacham, ultimately, again, who separated from the ways of the Torah. So Gemara says, Rabbi Huda ben Lakish says, Kol Tam Tchacham Shepirish Min HaTorah, any Tam Tchacham who separates himself from the Torah, I love HaKasuv Omer, about him the Pasuk says, Kitzipor no dedes min kana, kein ish no date mimkomo. We'll say a very beautiful statement. Rabbi Huda ben Lakish says, anytime tchacham that separates from the Torah, about him the pasuk says, like a bird that wanders away from its nest, so is a man who wanders away from his place. Va'omer, ma'amatsu avoseichem bi'avel ki racha kume alai. And furthermore, the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when we distance ourselves from him, what iniquity, what negative thing have your forefathers found in me that they have chosen to distance themselves from me? So we'll say, the point we have is Akasha, because here, according to this brisa, the Gemara explains that a mu'uvas shenayucha liskon, something that is crooked that cannot be made straight, is an example of someone who commits adultery. Now, the Gemara of the brisa over here does not indicate anything about a mamzer, so it sounds like, again, it even refers just to the act of adultery itself. Yet, our Mishnah seems to indicate that the only crookedness that cannot be made straight is the actual birth of the mamzer, to which the Gemara says, lo kasha, kan ba'achoso pnuye kan ba'eshes ish. The Gemara says, you're right, it depends. The Mishnah is talking about a case where a person, chas shalom, engaged in an act of incest with his single sister. And again, Abosai, in a case like that, the only, so to speak, lasting ramification of that act would be if it produced a mamzer. As opposed to if a person commits adultery, even in the absence of a mamzer, at the end of the day, that forbidden act has ramifications, and that a woman becomes prohibited to her husband. The other possibility is hava hava eshes ish. Both cases, the Mishnah Brayis could be referring to when one commits adultery. V'lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan ba'ones, kan beratzon. That the Mishnah could be talking about a situation where ultimately, again, a woman was violated. If she was violated again, then she does not become prohibited to her husband. And therefore, the only quote-unquote lasting impact of that act would be, the only crookedness that would not be able to be fixed would be if a mamzer was born, versus the brisa. That's talking about, again, a case where it was baratzon. If it was baratzon, if she was a willing partner to this, then lemaisa, there is a lasting impact of this negative act, namely that she becomes prohibited to her husband. V'vayseima, hava haba ones, or both cases could be talking about where she was violated. V'lo kasha, kan be'eshes kohen, kan be'eshes yisrael. So the Mishnah could be talking about a case of an eshes kohen, or I should say, excuse me, the brisa is talking about a case of an eshes kohen, and therefore, again, even in the absence of a mamzer being born, if an eshes kohen is violated, she becomes prohibited to her husband. However, again, the Mishnah could be talking about a case of an eshes yisrael, where in the absence of a mamzer, she's permitted to her husband afterwards. And there is no crookedness that cannot be straightened. So the Gemara says, v'lavo ein shalom. So we'll say again, the Gemara quotes over here, the pasuk from Zechariah, to he who leaves and comes back, there is no peace. Amarav, we'll say, what does this mean? Or the he who goes back and forth, there is no peace. Amarav, kevin shiyatza adam midvar halacha lidvar mikra, shuvin l'shabbos, a very interesting Gemara. As soon as a person leaves, Dvar Halacha, learning Halacha, to go back and learn, Dvar Mikra literally means like Chumash, like Tanakh, a person finds no peace. And I was saying, what does it mean that a person finds no peace? Look at Rashi. She yotzi adam midvar halacha ledvar mikra shuvein lo shalom. She ein ho ra'a midvar mikra. She mishna mifar shastima satar. I was saying, in other words, the beauty of learning Halacha is what? That a person knows what to do. If you don't know halacha, then you don't know what to do. I mean, I think we do a lot of guesswork, right? We make educated and informed guesses, but the truth is, very often in life, we actually don't know what we're doing simply because we don't know the halachas that govern certain situations. So there's a very fulfilling piece to learning halacha because a person actually doesn't just absorb knowledge, but a person ultimately absorbs knowledge about how to properly live. So if a person who goes ahead and stops learning halacha and instead goes to learn Tanakh, it's very interesting, it's very riveting, it's very intriguing, but ultimately it's not going to be as fulfilling as the learning of halacha. A person won't find peace. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Zaporesh mi Talmud l'mishna. Shmuel says this refers to someone who leaves the learning of Talmud to go to learn Mishnah. I will say, what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says Talmud? The Gemara says kind of like, not obviously in the form that we have, but Talmud was discussions of the Mishnayos. So someone who goes ahead and stops learning Gemara to go back and learn Mishnah will also not feel fulfilled. Why? Because Mishnah is a series of statements that are often not fully explained. It's the Gemara where ultimately, again, one is able to kind of dissect and take apart the different Mishnah statements to understand what they truly mean. So you see the pattern over here is that the Gemara is saying that if you go from almost like a rich, intellectually stimulating, fulfilling lemaisa limud to something that is a little bit more technical, or perhaps not as immediately lemaisa, it's not as fulfilling. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu mishas l'shas. Even if you go from one order of the Talmud or one Talmud to the other, a person won't have that same level of fulfillment. So it's interesting. According to Rashi understands this to mean that if a person stops learning Shas Yerushalmi and starts learning Shas Bavli, Shehu Amuk. So the Gemara says that ultimately, again, Shas Yerushalmi is deeper than Shas Bavli, bless you. And then again, if a person stops learning Shas Yerushalmi, to learn Shas Bavli, they'll also lack a certain level of fulfillment. Okay. I'm sorry? Yerushalmi Dafyomi. Yerushalmi Dafyomi. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's such a thing as Yerushalmi Dafyomi, but you could.
No.
Start it up. All right.
As opposed to learning Gemara.
Yeah, correct. Again, I will say, I want to point out, the Gemara is not going ahead and stating halacha lemaisa. The Gemara is quoting an opinion over here. So there's this opinion that, look, there's another school of thought. The other school of thought says, Ein adam lomid ela mashali b'chafetz. People learn that which they are interested in. So at the end of the day, it's not, you know, the concept of fulfillment and learning is not an objective statement. It's a very subjective statement. So a person might say, you know what, for some people, so learning halacha just doesn't, let me say it this way. Everyone has has to know halacha. You can't be properly Jewish without knowing halacha, because otherwise it's like practicing, you know, law with, I was going to say without a license, but I think a lot of people do that, no? there are certain things that you have to have training in order to be able to do it. So the truth is, you have to know halacha. I mean, we spend our lifetime trying to figure this stuff out. But again, so the Gemara feels over here that which is lemaisa, that which is practical, and that which actually allows you to live your day-to-day life is the most fulfilling. But on the other hand, very often people don't find it fulfilling, and people find, you know, the other things that perhaps inspire a little bit more, teach them other moral, ethical messages a little bit more. So the point is, the Gemara advances arguments both ways, says the Mishnah. I'm sorry? From Shas, right. This is Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosus. So the Mishnah says the following. Heter Nedarim Parchim Ba'avir. I will say now, very interesting Gemara. Literally, Heter Nedarim means the revocation and annulment of vows. Revocation and annulment of vows, Parchim Ba'avir, literally is suspended in midair. Ve'ein lehem amashe yismuchu. And I have nothing to rely on. I will say, when the Mishnah makes that, what the Mishnah is saying is like this, is that there's virtually nothing written in the Torah about revocation of vows. Now, we're going to challenge that in just a little bit. That's what it means when it says parchim ba'avir, means there's this whole body of halacha, but yet most of it is in Torah Shabbat Peh, and very little of it is in Torah Shabbat Chsav. Hilcho Shabbos chagigos v'amilos, harihim kararim hatluin b'sara. The laws of Shabbos, the laws of chagiga, and I will say we're assuming right now the laws of chagiga mean carbon chagiga, laws of mi'ila, which means, you know, inappropriate mundane use of consecrated property. These are like mountains that are suspended by a hair. What does that mean? Shein mikra muat, because there's very little in Torah Shebichsav, very little in the Torah, in the Pesukim, that discuss it. V'halochos merubos, and yet there is a voluminous amount of material in Torah Shebaal Peh that discusses it. Hadinin, so I will say dinin means monetary law, dinei mamonis. V'ha'avodos, and sacrificial law. Hataros, v'atmeos, v'atamos, the laws of tumantara. V'arayos, and the laws of morality or immorality. Yesh lehen amash yismuchu. There is much text for which they can be supported, the hein gufei Torah, and these things really make up the bulk of Torah. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is essentially, the Mishnah is essentially saying is, there are certain things, everything's important, but it's interesting that there are certain things that the Torah barely discusses, and that we rely heavily on Torah Shabbat Peh. There are certain things that are mentioned heavily within Torah Shabbat Chsav, and are more explicit in the text, says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yesh lehen amash yismuchu. So we'll say, remember, the first thing Gemara began with was this statement that heter nedarim, the whole idea of revocation and annulment of vows is something that there is virtually nothing written in the Torah about it. So now the Bryce says, Rabbi Eliezer says, what are you talking about? It's written in the Torah, Shene'emar, Kiyafli, Kiyafli. I will say, because again, the Torah states, V'adabra b'nei sormar talem, ish kiyafli neder be'erkech on the fashos, dabra b'nei sormar talem, ish o isha kiyafli lindor neder. We have this lashon of kiyafli twice. Right now, kiyafli literally means when one articulates, when one ultimately says something. So the Gemara says, why does it say kiyafli twice? Shtei pamim, two times. Achas hafla ole iser, v'achas hafla ole heter. One to teach you that lemaisa, you could articulate a neder to make it binding upon you, and you could articulate another. You could articulate an idea again. I just didn't know what it was. So the Gemara said the following. So one is to articulate a neder. One is to articulate a neder when you first make it, and one is to try to remember. In order to get out of a neder, you have to be able to articulate certain reasons again, either why you would not have made it in the first place, or that certain new realities perhaps came to light. So the Gemara is understanding over here that it says yafli, articulate, enunciate twice. One to teach you that you get into the neder through your speech, and one to teach you that what, that you can exit the neder through your speech as well. Rabbi Yehoshua. Yeshua says, "Yesh lamashi yismuchu." There are psukim upon which we could base the laws of revocation of vows. Because what does the pasuk say? Shnei Amar, "Asher nishbati biapi." That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I have sworn in my anger, nishbati v'chazarti bi." That I've sworn in my anger, and therefore, again, what we infer from that is, that lemaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kiviyachol saying, because I swore in my anger, I could technically what? technically get out of that neder as well. Since it was made in such an emotionally charged state, I could technically get out of it as well. Now, all we're doing now is quoting a whole bunch of opinions that show that the concept of revocation of vows can be found in the Torah. Rabbi Yitzchak says, this is interesting. That Rabbi say we're in Parshas Truma. So the Torah discusses that who donated to the Mishkan, kol nediv libo, any person who had generosity of spirit. So Rashi points out, what do you see from here? That you're only obligated to give as long as you maintain that generosity of spirit. But should that generosity of spirit go by the wayside, then what? You would have the opportunity to get out of your vow. Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua Mer, Chananya the son of the brother of Yoshua says, that revocation of vows has what to rely on. Shin emar nishpati va'akhaima lishmar mishpatei tzidkecha. Literally, I have sworn to uphold the mishpatei tzidkecha, your statutes of justice. Rashi says, "Zoyer nishpati va'akhaima lishmar mishpatei tzidkecha midikamar va'akhaima." The fact that it says, "I swore and I will uphold," indicates to us what the imratzo shal akhaima tirlos. Meaning, it could have just said nishpati. I have sworn to uphold the tenets of your righteousness. The fact that it says, I have sworn and will uphold, indicates that what? That under certain circumstances, you could get out of that obligation to uphold. So there's a remiss to the concept of heter nedarim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ihavikas hasam, Rav Yehuda's name is Shmuel. If I was there when this discussion was happening, Amri Luhu, I would have said to them, Didi Adifu Midaihu, Mididaihu. I have a proof that is better than all of your proofs. Shena Emar, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yachel Dvaro. The Pasuk says, his word shall not become profane. Who? Eino Mechel, I may not profane my word. If I make a neder, Aval Achirim Mochelin Lo. But others could go ahead and what? Others can go ahead and profane, so to speak, and revoke my word for me. So we'll say here you just have multiple suggestions about the source for heter nedarim from the Torah. So Amar Rav, Rava says, Lekulu islu pirchel bar midishmol. Rava says the truth is all of these proofs can be refuted with the exception of Shmuel's. There's no refutation. So now the Gemara goes back and refutes all of them. Di'i mid Rabbi Eliezer, because if you go back to Rabbi Eliezer, Dilmak Rabbi Yehuda, remember again, Rabbi Eliezer was the first opinion. Rabbi Eliezer said, kiafli twice. Maybe kiafli twice teaches us, like Rabbi Huda, who sent him Rabbi Tarfon, the Sanyo. Rabbi Huda, Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Huda sent him Rabbi Tarfon, li olam ein echa mehem nazir, shlo nitna naziros, el alahafla. But also, listen to this. Rashi brings down an interesting case. So let's say Reuven and Shimon are sitting on the street corner, and Levi's walking down, and they say to themselves like this. Reuven says, Levi's guy number three. Levi's walking down the street. So Reuven says, if Levi's a Nazir, I'm a Nazir just like him. Okay? And Shimon says, if Levi's not a Nazir, I'm a Nazir just like him. So I will say, don't ask why. It doesn't matter, right? The point is they're bored. They're sitting on the corner, right? You know, so whatever, on the stoop, right? They're sitting on the stoop, right? They're, you know, on the overturned milk crates, and they're just, so what? So we'll say, so the halacha is, we pass, actually I should say, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, Rabbi Huda named Tarfon, that is not a good neder nazirus, meaning that neither of them are a nazir. Why? Because Kiafli teaches us that in order to become a nazir, you must make an explicit articulation. I am a nazir. Making these two-sided or potential statements does not make you a nazir. So the point is, Rabosa, we see that Kiafli is necessary to teach us another limud, therefore it doesn't teach us heter nedarin. Okay, Imed Rabbi Yoshua, and if you want to go back to Rabbi Yoshua, remember what did Rabbi Yoshua say? Rabbi Yoshua was the opinion who said, Ashanishpati bi api. I have sworn in my anger, which Rabbi Yoshua meant to say, which Rabbi Yoshua interpreted to mean that Lamaisa, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get out of his oath, so to speak, he could say, I did it in anger, and therefore it's not binding. So the Gemara says, Dilma Hachi Kamar ba api nishpati. Or perhaps what God was really saying was, I swore in my anger, and therefore, velo hadranabi, and therefore again, I will not retract it. So therefore, it's not a good proof. Imid Rabbi Yitzchok. If we go with the proof of Rabbi Yitzchok, what did Rabbi Yitzchok say? Rabbi Yitzchok said, kol nediv libo. Kol Nedib Libo, which indicates that, again, should a person's generosity begin to wane, that a person would be able to get out of their vow. Dilma La'afuki Midishmuel, perhaps that pasuk is coming to exclude the position of Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Gamar Belibo, that Rabbi say, even if what? If a person decided in their heart that they want to give tzedakah, Rashi says, Shvua o neder o hekdish. Person makes an oath, a vow, or a hekdish. It's not enough to promise in your heart. Sar shiyotzi bisvasav. You have to actively articulate it with your mouth. And perhaps what we learn from this pasuk is what? Da'af agav de lahotzi bisvasav. That perhaps, again, kol nedib libo teaches us what Rabbi Osai, that even though I did not explicitly articulate my vow, as long as I thought it, it is binding. And if we from the statement of Rabbi of Chananya, the son of the brother Rabbi Yoshua, remember what did Chananya say? So Chananya was the one who said, which one was it? Nishpati va'akayema. Right, so I'm gonna find that pasuk. Nishpati, he's quoting over here from the pasuk in Tehillim. Nishpati va'akayema lishmar mishpatei tzidkecha. Dilma krav gidol amarav. Domarav gidol amarav. Minayin shenishbo'in l'kaimus ha-mitzvah. Rabbi said, how do we know that I could take an oath to go ahead and fulfill a mitzvah? Rabbi said, this is an interesting discussion by itself about taking an oath to do something that you are already obligated to do. But how do we know that it is permitted to go ahead and take an oath to perform a mitzvah as a way of being mechazik, as a way of ultimately strengthening and bolstering my mitzvah observance? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, nishpati va'akayema lishmar mishpatei tzidkecha. Okay, Elo Dishmuel Les Lupircha. So we'll say, therefore we see that out of all the proofs that we brought, the only one that does not have a pircha, that does not have a refutation, and when we say refutation, it's not that we're refuting these, it's that we're saying that all of these psukim are used to teach us other concepts. So because of that, they're simply not available to teach us the concept of Heter Nedarim. So all of these have quote-unquote refutations, except for Shmuel's statement. Elo Dishmuel Les Lupircha. So we'll say Shmuel's statement, Shmuel's statement, Shmuel's position was lo yachel dvaro, right? He may not profane his word, but he may not do it, but others may go ahead and release him from his vow. So the Gemara says, Amarava v'itim rav nachem bar yitzchok, haidu darmi inshi. This is Rabbi said, Shmuel's statement is the only one that stands. And so Amar Rav Avitim Rav Nachem Bar Yitzchak. Kind of darim inshi. This is what people say. Tava chada pilpalta charifta. Meimali tzani d'karbo. So you've seen this expression before. One sharp pepper is better than a basket of gourds. You know, say, so apparently the gourds or melons, again, are not as sharp, but one sharp pepper has more kick than a whole basket of gourds. Okay, you could use that one. It is a good one. Right? So let's say again, so here you have, you had all these opinions, but Lamaisa, again, it was only Shmuel who was able to advance the proof. Avi, hear that one? One sharp pepper is better than a basket of gourds. Okay? You tell your Rebbe that one, I guarantee you. It's extra, he says. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara goes, Hilchos Shabbos. So, okay, remember? So next, what's the next thing in the Mishnah? So the Mishnah says Hilchos Shabbos is another example of something for which, again, there is very little written in the Torah, in Torah Shebichsav, and a voluminous amount in Torah Shebapes. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Michtiv Kasivan. The Torah talks about Hilchos Shabbos all the time, right? Torah tells us about not doing Malacha on Shabbos. We're talking about some of the specific halachos of Shabbos. For example, hachofer guma b'Shabbos was an interesting case. If somebody digs a hole on Shabbos, ve'in sarach ela la'afra, and I only need the dirt. I only need the dirt. Rashi says, chofer guma, bone binyan, hu, vim eno tzarech ela litol esa afar, afa pisha binyan banu, ene chayim shumar. So listen to this, I will say, so normally if you dig a pit, you can't dig a pit on Shabbos, because the mice, again, it's actually a form of bone, it's a form of construction. So therefore, again, but what happens if I don't need the pit, I need the dirt. So what's the halacha in that such a situation? So the halacha is on potter. Why am I potter? Because it was the Gemara says, Kiman, Rabbi Shimon, Damar, Melacha Shenetzricha Legufa Potter Ale. Because Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Rabbi said, the only time you are chai for doing a malacha is if you're doing the malacha for the sake of the malacha, but if you're doing the malacha for some other purpose. So for example, again, the malacha of digging a pit, is because I need the pit. If I'm doing it for the dirt, that's what's called a malacha Shenetzricha Legufa, a malacha that is not necessary for its primary purpose. And I'm potter. To which the Gemara says, by the way, I feel the team of Rabbi Yehuda. The truth is, even Rabbi Yehuda, who normally says that even for a malacha shen etzricha legufa, you'd be chayiv, would agree in this case that it's potter. Why? Because hasa metakin hacha mekalkel. Because they both say, the act of digging a pit, when you don't need the pit, is what? Is a destructive act on Shabbos, and therefore lemaisa, you are potter from any destructive act, only chayiv for constructive acts. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, my kahararin tatluyin b'sara. So what does it mean when we say the laws of Shabbos are like a what? Are like a mountain suspended by a hair? To which the Gemara answers, meleches machsheves asra Torah. Because the pasuk says that you are only chayiv. Excuse me, the Torah says that you're only chayiv. The halacha says you're only chayiv for meleches machsheves. Rabbi says, what does meleches machsheves mean? Constructive malacha on Shabbos, and you are not chayiv for non-constructive malacha on Shabbos. Now, this, of course, is one of the guiding light principles of Hilchos Shabbos, that you are only chayiv for on Shabbos for malacha if you do meleches machsheves. It's a guiding light principle. It's a cornerstone. And yet what? It's not written in the Torah. Look at Rashi. Meleches machsheves. Shamachshava chashva bedaito v'niskavila. So we'll say, first of all, Melechas Machsheves also means that a person has a premeditated das to be able to do something. And again, we'll say, this person's intention, in the case of the digging of the hole for the dirt, his intention is not for building. And therefore, again, he's exempt. Fizehu remez muat, and I will say this is only alluded to in passing in the Torah. The ilu melechas machsheves b'shabbes lo kasiva ela b'mishkaru d'chsiv. I will say, now, interesting. Where do we learn the concept of melechas machsheves from? That again, that in order for you to be chayiv in melacha on Shabbos, it has to be again premeditated and constructive. It doesn't say melechas machsheves by Shabbos. Where does it melechas machsheves? By the Mishkan. But what? Ulafisha samach beparshas vayakel parshas Shabbos the parshas Mishkan on lemedim melechas machsheves Shabbos. But I also remember again, because of the juxtaposition of the Mishkan to Shabbos, we learn out a lot from one the other. So just like we learn out the 39 categories of labor, 39 melachas, amtes melachas from the Mishkan, we also learn out the concept of melechas machsheves from the Mishkan as well. So that's the point the Gemara means when it says it's like a mountain suspended by a hair. You have this incredible amount of Hilchos Shabbos, and where is it essentially, what is it all predicated on? It's predicated pretty much on one phrase, melechas machsheves. That's what? That's not even found by Shabbos. It's found by the Mishkan, but it's Gzir Shava in Tor Shabbat Peh that links the two. Chagigos. So the halachos of Chagigos, of Karbanos, are also, the Gemara says, are also like mountains suspended by hair. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Michtav Kasivan. That's not true. The laws of Chagigos are written in the Torah, to which the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha Lichid Amar Leira Papala Abaye. As our Papa said to Abaye, what did our Papa say to Abaye? That mimai dahai v'chagosim also chag la'Hashem zvicha. How do you know that when the pasuk says v'chagosim also chag la'Hashem, you shall celebrate it as a chag to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbos say, we assume that v'chagosim refers to what? Refers to Karban Chagiga. So you see over here that Karban Chagiga is explicitly written in the Torah. So our Papa said to Abaye, how do you know that v'chagosim refers to Karban Chagiga? Maybe Dilma chogu chaga ka'amar. Maybe what the pasuk is saying is what? Is that l'maisa, a person should go ahead and just have a good time. Maybe the halacha is not that I have to bring a chagiga, but the halacha is that I have to celebrate like a yamtiv. Ela me'ata, if that's the case, d'chsiv ayachogu li b'midbar. Again, I will say, when ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Paro that he's going to go ahead and celebrate for me in the desert. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's going to be a celebration in the desert. Hachanami dechogu chagahu. You might think over there that it also doesn't mean karbanos, but perhaps ultimately it just means a yomtiv, like a chagiga, like just a celebration. Maybe you'll say that is indeed true. Fox, if so, again, remember, just to keep in mind what we're doing. What the Mishnah said, that the laws of chagiga are not written explicitly in the Torah. They're just like a mountain suspended by a hair. The Gemara says, that's strange, because the pasuk says, v'chagosim oso chag la'Hashem, which seems to indicate that what? That lemaisa, that's the carbon chagiga, to which the Gemara now is suggesting that maybe by v'chagosim oso chag la'Hashem just means celebration, does not mean karbanos. The problem just is then, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, to tell Paro, v'yachogu li chag b'midbar, is that also just talking about a celebration? We assume that meant karbanos. Maybe we'll say it just means a celebration. But we learned that Yom Moshe. Moshe said to Paro, "Gam ata titim biyadenu zvachim va'olos." Paro, you will also give us zvachim va'olos karbanos. Dilma hachi kama rachmana. Perhaps this is what the Torah means to say. Achlu ushesu v'chogu chaga. Kamai, I want you to go ahead and eat and drink and celebrate before me. The Gemara says, "Lo sakadait chadichsev, v'lo yalin chelav chagi ad boker." The pasuk says literally that the chelav of my chag, the chelav of my chagiga, shall not be left over until morning. V'is sakadait chadichuga, dechuga, dechugahu tarba lechaga islay. If you want to say that chagi just literally means my celebration, so what does that mean? Don't leave over the fats of my celebration until the morning. That can't be. V'dil mahaki kam rachmana. Perhaps this is what the Torah means to say: chelav haba bizman chag lo yalin. That any chelav that's from karbanos that is brought during the times of the Yom Tov shall not be left over until the morning. The Gemara says that can't be. Elamei ata habab isman chakud lo yolin hadichal hashana kula yolin. Are you therefore trying to tell me that it's only the fats from karbanos that are brought during Yom Tov that you can't leave over, but fats from other karbanos you can leave over? We know that's not true. Kol alayla ad haboker. The Torah says by all karbanos that the fats can be left over throughout the night until the morning. To which the Gemara says, "Dilma imeahu hava amina hahu laaseh kazav rachmana." Perhaps if it was just on that from that pasuk, I would have said the Torah is just coming to teach me that that is an aseh, a positive commandment, and hi lilav, and the other pasuk is coming to teach me a lava prohibition, and therefore I will say if I leave over the fats until the morning, I'm in violation of both an aseh, a positive commandment, as well as what, as well as a lav. To which the Gemara says, "Kasav krachrina." Therefore, the Torah comes to therefore the Torah quotes and the Torah states another pasuk, "Velo yolin min abasar." Therefore, the pasuk says, "You shall not leave over from the meat that you offered in the evening on the first day until the morning." Maybe the Torah is coming to teach you that if I leave over the fats, I'm in violation of two lavin, two prohibitions, and one positive commandment. Ella Asya Midbar Midbar. Rather, Rabbi say we learn out the Gzeir Sheva a Midbar Midbar. Ksiv Hacha says over here, Vayachoguli ba Midbar. This is Rabbi say this is by Pesach. It says over here that you shall celebrate for me in the desert. Uksiv Hasam Hazvachim Vahamincha Yigashtem li ba Midbar. It says over here in the pasuk. He's quoting over here the pasuk from Amos, that you will, the Zvachim and the Mincha, the Zevach, the Karbanos and the Mincha, you will bring close to me in the desert. Mal lahalon, just like by the Pasuk in Amos, Zvachim, Afkan Sotu Vayachoguli Bamidbar, is also what? Is also talking about Karbanos. So what have we just proven? We've just proven, first of all, Vayachoguli Bamidbar, the Chag over there is referring to what? Is referring to Karbanos. If the Chag over there is referring to Karbanos, then what? Then the Chagosim, also Chag Lashem, is also referring to what? Karban Chagiga. So we'll say, if that's the case, then we've just seen that Karban Chagiga is discussed explicitly in the text. If that's the case, says the Gemara, then my kaharin umay kaharin hatluim besara. So then, for what does it mean when it says that the laws of Chagiga are like mountains suspended by a hair? Divrei Torah mid divrei Kabbalah lo yafin. Because we also remember, interestingly enough, the Gzeir Shava that allows us to interpret the word Chag as referring to Karban Chagiga is Gzeir Shava based on what? Gzeir Shava based on a pasuk in Navi. Generally, we don't learn out biblical law from the Nevi'im. We learn that from the Torah. So the fact that you have at least part of the limud based on a pasuk in Navi makes it like mountains that are suspended by a hair. Mi'ilos, the laws of Mi'ila. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Michtav kasivan. The Torah discusses the laws of Mi'ila. The Torah discusses it. So why do you say that it's like mountains suspended by a hair? Amrei bar Chama, lo nitzucha el lechidisnan. It's necessary only for the following which is stated. Hashaliach, well, this is an interesting case. Hashaliach sha'asa shlichuso, balabayis ma'o. Lo asa shlichuso, shtepa. Well, so listen to this case. A shaliach, let's say again, I go ahead and I give my shaliach money. I give my shaliach money, and what happens? It turns out that it's hekdish money. I made a mistake. I didn't mean to give him hekdish money. I made a mistake. My money's got, you know, I have two wads of $100 bills. Who doesn't? Right? And I accidentally took my hekdish wad instead of giving my chulin wad. And what happens? I give it to the shaliach. I ask him to go out and to buy me a particular item. Go out and buy me something. And what happens? He goes ahead and he does it. So if he follows through on the shlichus, balabayis mal, then I, the balabas, I am responsible for the me'ilah, for the misappropriation of hekdish funds. However, again, if the shaliach deviates from his shlichus, right, Rabbi Yosef, if I told him that I want you to buy me a new sofa, and he instead buys me a dining room table, he has deviated, it was on sale, he deviates from the shlichus, then lemais, again, in that case, the shaliach has committed me'ilah. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Gemara asks, I don't understand. So let's say again, I told the shaliach to go and buy me a sofa. He buys me a sofa with the hekdish money. So what's the halacha? I, the balabas, have committed me'ilah. But so how could that be? If the shaliach does his shlichos, why am I committed me'ilah? But I will say, at the end of the day, remember again, who committed the act of me'ilah? Who committed the act of me'ilah? The shaliach. Right? I, as much as it's my money and I made the mistake, I didn't commit the act of me'ilah. It's the shaliach who went ahead and actually purchased the item with hekdish funds. So why is it because of what the shaliach did? The chizeh chote. This one is a sinner. Obviously, the shaliach doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know that it's hekdish funds. But at the end of the day, he's committed the act of me'ilah. So why should I be responsible for the act that he committed? Hainuk yahararin hatuluyin besara. This is what it means when the Mishnah says that the laws of me'ilah are like mountains suspended by a hair, that there are concepts in the laws of Mi'ilah that are not immediately understandable based on the text, but rather are based on the oral tradition. So Amarava, Umay Kusha, Dilma Shiny Mi'ilah. Dilma Shiny Mi'ilah. The answer is laws of Mi'ilah. Laws of Mi'ilah, because laws of Shlichos would not allow this. Right? Is in Shlichos Dvar Avera. So only the laws of Shlichos would say this doesn't work. The fact that it does work is a din in Shlichos. Is a din in Me'ilah, excuse me. So I'm Rabbi Umay Kusha. So what's the question? Dilma Shani Me'ilah Dialfa Chet Chet Mitruma. Maybe Me'ilah is just fundamentally different. Why? Because you have Gzir Shavav Chet Chet from Truma. Ma Hasam. I will say, in other words, it's Gzir Shavav Truma. Ma Hasam Shlucho Shal Adam Kimoso. Afkan Shlucho Shal Adam Kimoso. I will say, maybe this is just an exception. And what's the exception? Just like I will say, in the laws of Truma, remember again, if somebody tithes my produce they could tithe my produce on my behalf. So just like again, I could have their shlichos by truma, perhaps there's shlichos by me'ilah as well. Ella Amar, we'll see, actually we'll stop over here. We're gonna pick up. Actually, let's just do one more line. Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava said, Lo nitzucha ella chedisanya. So mostly remember, we're trying to figure out what is the novelty in the laws of Mi'ilah that makes it like mountains suspended by a hair. Ella Amar Rava, Lo nitzucha ella chedisanya. Niskar balabayis lo niskar shlech. Mostly listen to this. Let's say in the same case as before, I accidentally sent my shaliach with hektish money to purchase the sofa. And I realized afterwards what I did. So after he left the door, I can't get in touch with him. I realized what I did. So what happens? But the shliach doesn't know. So I both say, what happened? Let's halacha. Shliach mal. The shliach has committed me'ilah, and I have not committed me'ilah. And I will say, now why haven't I committed me'ilah? Because essentially, at the moment that I realized what just happened, I canceled the shlichus. Now, I could cancel the shlichos without my shliach even knowing. So it turns out that what? That when the shliach spends the money, he's not spending the hekdish money on my behalf. Whose behalf is he? Now, I don't know whose behalf he's doing it, but he's not doing it on my behalf, right? I canceled the shlichos. Therefore, it turns out that the shliach committed me'ilah. When we say the shliach committed me'ilah, obviously, the shliach is not going to be held responsible for that act because he doesn't realize that he's holding me'ilah funds. So when it says the shliach ma'a, what it means is the shliach technically committed the act of me'ilah. I, the balabas, have not because I canceled the shlichos, to which the Gemara says, it's interesting, Lashon, shliach anya my kavid, right? What did poor shliach anya means? Rabbi, I'm never seen this. Shliach anya means what? Poor shliach. It's amazing, right? I don't know, I've never seen that expression before. What did the poor shliach do? Why are you making him responsible for me'ilah? To which the Gemara says, Hainu ke arhararin hatluin besara. This is what the Mishnah means when it says that the laws of Mi'ilah are like mountains suspended by a hair. That there are certain concepts in Mi'ilah that, again, ultimately seem to put the party who is totally ignorant of the circumstances at a disadvantage. Even though, Rabbi Yosef, of course, we don't hold the shaliach culpable for the Mi'ilah, but that's the fascinating idea, that here when the balabas realizes what happened, he can negate the shlichus, and therefore even the shaliach is not acting on his behalf. Therefore, even though we normally have a gzir shav of chet for truma, that says what? That someone who acts on my behalf, that act is misyachis, that act is connected to me. I cancel the shalichos, therefore it's not my act, and therefore the shaliach will be chai for the me'ilah. I will not be chai for the me'ilah. This is what it means when it says that the laws of me'ilah are like mountains suspended by air. We'll pick up tomorrow with Amar Ravashi. I'm sorry.